Jones Angel is the voice of the Tar Heels, and he joins us on the phone now to preview the game. Jones, happy Friday. How are you?
Well, great to be with you again, Aaron. And I was listening to that Chapel Hill Tire drive of the game. That was a wild play.
That was,
yeah. Mace kind of threw it off his back foot. And, you know, it's interesting, in Miami, we're really far away from the field, and we're in a corner. That's where we're calling the game. So it's not a great place to call a game. And so the action was occurring way on the other side of the field from us on that particular play. And to see it, I have to look through my binoculars. So I remember I was watching through my binoculars, and May kind of threw it off his back foot. And the only guy I could see was a Miami defender coming up from out of the end zone. I thought he was going to intercept it. And so I dropped by my binoculars, and all of a sudden there's Josh Down kind of out of nowhere. And he caught it and then jumped into the end zone through a couple of defenders. It was a great play for the Tar Heels, and obviously an important one. And what I thought, Aaron, last week was the most complete win of the year for Carolina. And I don't mean complete like the Tar Heels played perfectly from the opening kick to the end of the game. I mean complete in the fact that every facet of Carolina's team did something to help Carolina win the game. Yeah, and whether it was that offense playing really well in the first half and then not as well in the second half, but still had some important moments, including that really long drive in the fourth quarter that resulted in a field goal that put the Heels up two scores late. You know, the special teams, Miami was so good in kick return. They led the nation in kickoff return yardage, and Carolina covered kicks really well. You know, Noah Burnett made a couple of pressure field goals in there. And then, of course, the defense. Yeah, it gave up a lot of passing yards, but only 41 yards on the ground. And, yeah, just stepped up with some key moments. Yeah, stepped up and had the goal line stand. They had forced a fumble in the fourth quarter. Had the interception, of course, to close the game. They had several sacks in the game. Big one on fourth down by DeAndre Boykins in the second half. So I thought it was just a really quality team win by the Tar Heels. And they'll need to do some of those similar quality things this weekend against Duke.
I was going to ask about some of those big moments in the game where the offense and especially the defense really stepped up and delivered at those kind of critical junctures in the game. How important are moments like that to build momentum and give them confidence going forward?
Sure. And I think too, Aaron, you know, these games are decided by those moments.
Yep.
And you never know when they're coming and what they're going to be, but there always ends up being three or four identifiable moments after the game where you say, well, that was one of those. That was one of the plays that changed the outcome of this game or dictated how things went. And I'll give you a great example, Aaron. Carolina had the 21-7 lead late in the first half, and then Miami has the nice push before halftime, and it's 21-17. So it's a closer game. Carolina had really, I thought, controlled the first half for the most part, but only up four at halftime. Come out the second half and throw an interception on the second play of the half. So, you know, Miami's got all this momentum. They have the ball now with a chance to take the lead. They had scored 10 points in the final minutes of the first half. And then that defense comes out there and forces Miami into a fourth down around midfield. And DeAndre Boykins comes in there off a blitz on fourth down and sacks Tyler Van Dyke, the Miami quarterback. And all of a sudden, now the Tar Heels have the ball on their own 45 or something, or Miami's 45, you know, somewhere right in that range. And they're able to go kick a field goal and kind of stem that tide of Miami's momentum and get a two-score lead, and on we went the second half. And so, yeah, there are moments like that where you don't know they're coming, but when you step up and make the play that matters, that's a big deal. And I think you saw that several times in this game from Carolina, whether, you know, the fumble was a big one where Cedric Gray forced the fumble and it was jumped on by Geo Biggers early in the fourth quarter. And, you know, just those type of plays are the type of plays that I think winning teams end up making.
Speaking with Jones Angel, voice of the Tar Heels, I'm always fascinated about just the way the narrative shifts in football season, because I grew up as a big baseball fan, and the difference between one game and the next is almost irrelevant because there's 150, 162 games in the season. But with this, there's 12 games. In the NFL, there's 17. You only have, like, so many opportunities to get out there on the field. So that one game against Miami changes the narrative. This game coming up against Duke is going to change it even more. What do we expect to see from Duke this weekend?
Yeah, and it's funny how differently people feel from after the Notre Dame game to after the Miami game.
Two
and
weeks,
some of that
yeah.
is Carolina's Yeah, some of that's Carolina's play's been better, right? Particularly on the defensive side. You know, that Tar Heel offense has been pretty consistent, but I think there's been very obvious growth from the Tar Heel defense, and it's been able to easily been seen these last 2 weeks. So how does that carry over to this week? You know, I've been really impressed, Aaron, with Duke and getting ready and studying them and watching them this week. You know, they had really, really struggled these last couple of seasons. David Cutcliffe did a great job there, and he had Duke pretty good in the 2012, 13, 14, 15, kind of in that range. Duke was a very good football team. I think they had fallen off in recent years, and in fact, I think this number's right, Aaron. They were 1-17, I think, in their last 18 ACC games before this season. So clearly that's not very good. And so Coach Cutcliffe, who had done a great job, elected to step away. And Mike Elko has come in, and I think he's really done a nice job halfway through his first season. Still a long way to go, of course. But, you know, he and his staff have come in, and you can really tell that Duke has kind of a breath of fresh air. You know, they play really hard. They really seem to have some extra energy. They just play like they're having fun, and they play hard, and they don't beat themselves. And that's the most impressive thing to me, Aaron, is that they don't make a ton of mistakes. They are not the most talented team that Carolina is going to see all year. I mean, there are some areas where they'll need to improve their talent to compete at a higher level, but they don't beat themselves. They make you go out there and beat them. They don't turn it over a bunch. They play really hard. They've got a good quarterback. They run the football well. They're going to keep the ball away from you. They play good defense. I mean, just all that kind of stuff. And so they've really done a nice job, I think, maximizing what they have and knowing who they are and playing to those strengths. And so for Carolina, Tar Heels, I think the Tar Heels are a more talented team. But I think Miami was more talented than Carolina, for example, last week. Talent is a big part of it, but it isn't always the end-all, be-all. And so Carolina's got to go in, execute, play well, and they'll need to do that to have a chance to win.
Speaking with Jones Angel, and as we wrap up, kind of touched on this already, but keys to victory this weekend?
Yeah, you know, and one of them is super boring, Aaron, but it's not turn the ball over. And I know that's always important in football, but Duke has done a really good job. They're +7 in turnover margin per game. So that means they're getting a little more than one more turnover than the opponent every single game so far this season. And we all know, if you watch football, that is a big deal. The turnovers are always a key factor in what happens. I think maximizing possessions will be important. And by that, I mean, you know, Duke really will. If Duke's going good, then they've got the football a lot. They're going to run the ball. They're going to keep it away from you. They're going to force you into quick possessions by three and outs or four or five play drives, and then you're punting, something like that. So I think making sure every possession is valuable and counts for the Tar Heels will be important. And then one final thing. You know, their quarterback, Riley Leonard, is a good player. He reminds me of Daniel Jones a little bit, former Duke QB, who's now with the Giants, of course. And he's big. He's 6'4". He can really run, makes good decisions. And so trying to fluster him, I think, will be important. He has thrown some interceptions under pressure this year, which a lot of quarterbacks do. So I think flustering him as best you can would be very valuable for Carolina as well.
Kickoff time, 8 p.m. at Wallace Wade. Weather's going to be beautiful this time around. Pre-game coverage on 97.9. The Hill starts at 5, and then 7 o'clock is when the Tar Heel Sports Network takes over with their pre-game ahead of kickoff an hour later. Jones Angel, thank you as always so much for joining us. Looking forward to hearing the game tomorrow.
Thanks, Aaron. Talk to you soon.